So I got. I'm gonna go, but before I go, I just wrote this up. I realized that Martin Luther King's Day is coming up, and I'm gonna celebrate it the way most people celebrate it. It's today, but we party on Sunday. I don't know. Nobody gives a shit when the birthday is. I thought day off is Monday, my man. That's when I'm at Filene's basement, y'all. Oh yeah, Martin Luther King's Day white sale. Come on down. Celebrate like the rest of America. No, but he's going. I mean, this guy who dragged us into a completely unethical, immoral, illegal war is going to have to honor one of the greatest, most courageous citizens this country's ever known, who was a man of peace. And it's going to be like, how are you going to do that? You know, when he was at the prison camp in Germany and he had to lay the wreath and he, you know, stood there solemnly, and I'm sure thinking like, wow, I wonder how many millions of dollars did my grandfather make from the Nazis? He's probably computing it in his head, you know? I would guess. Do you think that might have gone through his mind? I don't know. Just he had a lot of quiet time, you know, there. Like. But it occurred to me that Bush is going to have to, you know, honor him. So what, you know, what I did was I took some of the Martin Luther King's speech, not the whole thing, because it's fucking long, you know? You know, he would have thought somebody on his team would have been like, Martin, you want to condense a little bit? Little self-indulgent, buddy. no, but I wrote it. I took his speech and then wrote addendums for President Bush to read. And I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all businessmen are created equal. And I have a dream that one day on the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. And then the sons of the former slaves will stand right back up and clear the tables. Proud to have been able to sit, if even for a moment, at a table full of rich white men and their mean-spirited petty wives. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character and how much they excessively drink, smoke marijuana, and snort cocaine. I'm sorry, it's in their genes. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I must say, however, that I have absolutely no expectation that this dream will ever come true. It is just a dream, so, you know, remember, a lot of times they're all crazy and weird, nonsensical stuff happens. In fact, who am I kidding? Oasis of freedom in Trent Lott's backyard? All right, let's skip that one, my bad. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi and every mountainside. And when this happens, when we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every tenement and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, we'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Then, immediately following that, God will wage a holy war against these same vile, dirty subhumans and send Jesus to earth where Armageddon will rage. Fire will engulf the earth and all non-believers, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, and Muslims, especially Muslims. Oh man, are they in for it. They'll wallow in a lake of fire for all eternity, and there'll be much wailing and gnashing of teeth. Will I ascend to heaven on a chariot made of chocolate and feathers? There I will sit at God's side enjoying the fruits of 70 brown-eyed virgins. I have a dream. Oh boy, do I have a dream. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. And good night. So, I was in Las Vegas recently. I was. I played poker with other non-celebrities like myself. You walk in, you're like, hey, did a celebrity fall out? Because somebody asked me to play this game. You know? And I can say, now I can say conclusively, Scott Stapp is an asshole. Hey, here's a funny story that I've only told like friends who asked about it, but here's the thing, this is a little brief thing and then I'll get to what I was going to talk about, but for those of you who don't know, I played this celebrity poker game that was on Bravo, and one of the people at the table was Scott Stapp, who's the lead singer of the third worst band in history. Here's the thing though. I didn't know. I knew all the other players except for him because there was a fallout with somebody and he didn't get there until the night before and nobody knew who the other person was going to be. They weren't keeping a secret. They just didn't know and then they didn't want to say anything until it was confirmed. So I went down there and I was hungover. Everybody was really super hungover. And I went down there to where we were going to start shooting this thing, and I found out about it when I was in makeup, and like literally had like 15 minutes ago. Oh, fuck, because I have said the most vicious shit about that guy. Like, I mean, on stage and in print and just, and he's, you know, there's so many bands to choose from that are just awful and evil, sellout, bullshit, fraudulent, you know, fucking 10th grade suburban white girl bullshit, you know. I swear to God, that guy fucking hangs out at a fucking junior high school, you know, locker room, outside the girls' locker room, just writing down, you know, like poetry, like he overhears, what? I will take you higher. Yeah, okay, good. And just that simplistic fucking pseudo-spiritual bullshit. And look, you know, anybody who fucking on purpose takes their shirt off and oils himself down, show you, hey man, check out my hairy nipples. You know, so whatever. I mean, there's a myriad of reasons to despise that guy and what he does. But anyway, so I've said these awful things, and so I'm like, oh shit, that throws me for a loop. That's weird. So I go down to the floor. I have no idea if he knows who I am or any of this stuff. I have no clue. And I go down there and I'm talking to the other people. And then he's sitting at the table, everybody else standing, and I was like, all right, well, I got to do this sooner or later. And again, no idea if he knows who I am or anything I've said. And I said, hi, Scott, I'm David Cross. And he did that thing where, here, stand up for a second, come here. Where, like, go to shake my hand. And I'm sitting down, and he goes, yeah, thanks for the words. Well, he knows. The mystery is answered. Thanks for the words. Yeah. And then my reaction, which I'm kind of pleased with, like I thought of so many things later to say, but I also like the honesty of it was, you know, he went, thanks for the words, and went, yeah, well. You do. Have you listened to your albums? Check it. Listen to your albums while you look at a picture of yourself as you're reading an interview of what... Yeah, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll get it. You'll get it, dude. You'll get it. Don't worry about it.